Jesus looked upon Peter, Peter's personal despair. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went out and wept bitterly. Matthew chapter 26, verse 75, Scriptures from RVIC. Among the many portraits of faith found in the Gospels, few are as vivid, human, and unsettling as that of the Apostle Peter on the night of Jesus' arrest. Peter's denial of Christ is not merely a historical episode or a moral warning, it is a mirror held up to the human soul. In Peter, we see the collision of courage and fear, devotion and self-preservation, spiritual aspiration, and human weakness. His story invites us to contemplate the painful truth that great faith and great fear can coexist within the same heart. This article traces Peter's descent into personal despair, his warnings, his confidence, his collapse, and ultimately gestures toward the redemptive arc that transforms his bitter weeping into enduring hope. Peter's experience illustrates both the limitations of human strength and the Lord's gentle, patient education of those he loves. The fragility beneath the zeal. Peter is often remembered for his boldness. He is the disciple who steps out of the boat, who confesses Jesus as the Christ, who vows unwavering loyalty. Yet Scripture does not sanitize Peter's character. Instead, it presents him as a man of strong impulses and deep sincerity, precisely the kind of person most vulnerable to crushing disappointment when self-confidence is exposed as insufficient. Peter's denial of Jesus is a stark example of human frailty. Fear and self-preservation overpower his loyalty, leading to a moment of profound failure. His experiences highlight the internal conflict and capacity for both great faith and great weakness within a single person. As Bible students have long observed, God allows such failures not to humiliate his servants, but to teach them the limits of self-trust and the necessity of divine grace. They also provide the necessary refinement of believers whose characters must be shaped and polished before they can be brought together as the precious stones that will fill the millennial temple with God's glory. Peter loved Jesus sincerely, but he did not yet fully understand himself. A disheartening prediction. After singing a hymn and leaving the upper room, Jesus spoke words that must have sounded bewildering and even offensive to Peter. "All ye shall be offended in me this night." Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. Peter reacts immediately. According to Matthew chapter 26, verses 30 through 35, and Mark chapter 14, verses 29 through 31, he insists that even if all others abandon Jesus, he never will. His declaration is not casual bravado, it is heartfelt conviction. Peter truly believes himself capable of heroic faithfulness. Jesus, however, responded with a precise and deeply unsettling prediction. "Truly I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Matthew chapter 26, verse 34. This prophecy strikes at Peter's self-image. It challenges not only his loyalty, but his understanding of his own heart. From a human standpoint, Peter's response is understandable. He has left everything to follow Christ. He has seen miracles, heard divine teaching, and felt the power of the kingdom. How could he possibly deny his Lord? Yet Jesus sees deeper. As Brother Russell often emphasized, the Lord reads not only our intentions, but our weaknesses. And he understood that Peter's confidence rested too heavily on emotion and personal resolve. The coming hours would expose how fragile those foundations were when shaken by fear. The first lesson, watchfulness and weakness. The next stage of Peter's humbling journey unfolds in Gethsemane. Jesus, overwhelmed with sorrow, asked his closest disciples to watch and pray with him. Three times he returned to find them sleeping. Matthew chapter 26, verses 40 through 45. Peter, who moments earlier professed absolute loyalty, could not even remain awake for an hour. Jesus' gentle rebuke was telling, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. This statement encapsulates Peter's dilemma. His spirit truly was willing. His heart was sincere. But his flesh, his human limitations, fears, and instincts, was weak. Bible students have often noted that God permits such experiences to separate genuine spiritual desire from overconfidence in the flesh. Peter is learning, painfully and slowly, that good intentions alone are not enough to sustain faith under pressure. Vigilance, prayer, and humility are required, but these lessons have not yet fully absorbed. Zeal without understanding. When the arresting party arrived, Peter reacted instinctively. According to John chapter 18, verses 10 and 11, he drew a sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Matthew's account places this act within the same chaotic moments. At first glance, it seemed loyalty has been regained. Peter was ready to fight. Yet Jesus immediately rebuked him. "Put up the sword into the sheath. The cup which the Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" John chapter 18, verse 11. Peter's courage was real, but misguided. He was willing to risk his life in a physical confrontation, yet unprepared for the quieter, more insidious tests that lay ahead. The fear of association, ridicule, and arrest. This moment underscores a recurring biblical theme. Zeal without understanding can be as dangerous as fear without faith. Peter's strength was being applied in the wrong direction. He was still trying to protect Jesus and himself by human means rather than submitting to God's unfolding purpose. The slow descent. After Jesus was arrested, Peter followed at a distance. This detail, recorded in all four Gospels, is psychologically revealing. Peter had not fled entirely, but neither was he standing openly with Christ. Fear began to erode his resolve. The scene in the courtyard unfolds gradually, almost mercilessly. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 74, Mark chapter 14, verses 66 through 71, Luke chapter 22, verses 54 to 61, and John chapter 18, verses 25 through 27, Peter was confronted three times. First, a servant girl recognized him. Peter denied knowing Jesus. Then another accusation, followed by another denial. Finally, the bystanders insisted that he was a disciple of Jesus, noting his accent. This time, Peter cursed and swore, insisting he had no connection to the man on trial. Each denial escalated. What began as evasion ended in outright repudiation. Peter was not merely protecting himself, he was distancing his identity from Christ. Here, the Lord's prediction came true, exactly, painfully, publicly. The look that broke him. Luke alone records one of the most haunting details in the entire narrative, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Luke chapter 22, verse 61. We are not told what that look contained. Pity? Compassion? Perhaps even some other emotion, or a mix of them. But whatever Peter saw in Jesus' eyes, it shattered him. At that moment, the rooster crowed. Suddenly, memory, prophecy, conscience, and reality converged. Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken. He saw himself clearly, not as the hero he had imagined, but as a frightened man who had denied his Lord. This was the moment Peter hit rock bottom. Bitter weeping and personal despair. Mark chapter 14, verse 72, Matthew chapter 26, verse 75, and Luke chapter 22, verse 62 all describe the same response. Peter broke down and wept bitterly. These are not quiet tears. The language suggests violent sobbing, overwhelming grief, and deep personal anguish. This is not merely regret for a mistake. It is the collapse of self-confidence, the shattering of identity. For Peter, the despair is total. He has failed publicly, repeatedly, and precisely as Jesus foretold. The man who promised faithfulness unto death had denied his Lord to preserve his own safety. This moment is crucial. God sometimes allows his servants to reach the end of themselves so that they may finally rest upon him. Peter's tears marked the death of his self-reliance. Our own journey through the valley of despair often mirrors Peter's bitter weeping, occurring at the intersection where our self-image finally collapses under the weight of reality. Whether we are ensnared by the cyclical chains of addiction, or the quiet, corrosive burden of personal sins, we too may eventually reach a point where our self-confidence shatters. We make grand promises to ourselves and to God, vowing to be stronger, to be better, or never to fall again, only to find ourselves, like Peter, doing the very thing we swore we would not do. This collapse of identity is agonizing because it forces us to confront the fact that our willpower alone is insufficient. But there is a way up and out of this valley. From Valley to Mountain. The beauty of Peter's story lies not in his denial, but in what follows. The same man who wept bitterly would later weep with joy. The one who denied Jesus before servants would proclaim him boldly before rulers. The valley of despair would give way to a mountain of joy. Peter's journey through personal failure became the soil in which humility, compassion, and steadfast faith grew. His later strength was not the confidence of self, but the quiet courage of one who knows his own weakness and trusts entirely in God. As Brother Russell often emphasized, God's dealings with his people are educational. Viewed from the proper standpoint, all the trials and difficulties which come to us will be seen to be mercies and blessings, designed to shape us in conformity with the lines of character manifested in our Lord and Head, to polish us and to make us fit for the inheritance of the saints in light. While, therefore, we are not to rush into temptation, nor to bring upon ourselves persecution by injudicious conduct, yet when these things come to us as rewards for fidelity to principles of truth and righteousness, exercised in the spirit of meekness, gentleness, patience, and love, we are to rejoice in them. As so many ministries of evil toward us, which under divine guidance are fitting and preparing us to further reflect the Lord's likeness, and to further be his representatives and ministers of righteousness, now and hereafter, and to shrink back from and to avoid the trials and difficulties and persecutions incident to faithfulness to the Lord and to his service would be, in a measure at least, to draw back from our consecration, which is to suffer with him, that we may also reign with him, to be dead with him, that we may also live with him. Reprint 2:3-5:2. Therefore, Peter's fall was not the end of his calling, but a necessary chapter in his preparation. Broken pride made room for enduring grace. A hope for us all. Peter's story assures us that failure is not final. Bitter tears are not wasted. When repentance is genuine, despair becomes a doorway to transformation. The same Lord who looked at Peter in the courtyard later sought him out by the sea, restoring him not with condemnation, but with love. The man who once denied Christ became one of the pillars of the early church, not because he was flawless, but because he was forgiven. And so Peter's path leads us forward, from fear to faith, from self-confidence to God-dependence, from a dark courtyard to the light of resurrection morning. His journey reminds us that even when we stumble into the deepest valleys, God is already shaping the path toward higher ground. And beyond the valley, there is a mountain, bathed in grace, crowned with joy, and echoing with the quiet truth that love, not failure, has the final word. Yes, the night of bitter weeping may be long, but for those who trust in Christ, dawn always comes. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Psalm chapter 30, verse 5.